You are about to listen to the undiluted word of God, taught by Pastor Chidiye Bere Nwokocha, Senior Pastor of Kingdom Disciples Assembly, a man known for his strong passion for leadership, growth, and kingdom discipleship. Listen and be impacted.
Today we're going to be looking at the kingdom husband. Praise the Lord. When we are through with the kingdom husband, we look at the kingdom wife. When we finish with the kingdom wife, we look at the kingdom singles. When we are through with the kingdom singles, we look at the kingdom children. And I remember when we are also looking at the kingdom family, we also taught that, you know, your state or your faithfulness in your singleness also determines how stable your marriage will be. If you are not faithful as a single, it is going to be very difficult to be faithful as a married person. Praise the Lord. You know, and this morning one of my ushers was telling me something that really pained me. He said that there is this man of God that told his people that he doesn't have anything wrong with people sleeping together before marriage. And after all, a lot of things are happening in the world, and that how will you know if the person is a man if you don't sleep with the person? And this is a pastor. I say I don't believe it, but I know my son is not that, is not lying. And a lot of people said they were excited. I said that means the person is also approving fornication and adultery. And if that person is preaching that, I wouldn't be shocked if that person is doing that. And I was told a lot of people were excited. They said this is the kind of thing they want to hear. Hey, they've removed all this problem for them. But I know deep down in their heart, they know it is not the right thing. So be careful what they hear. Be careful what you're being fed with. Praise the Lord. Because a lot of heresies have gone out there. Because if you don't have a good foundation as a single person, and you go into marriage, believe me, you're not going to perform anything in marriage that will be out of what you've learned over the period. And that is important. That's why it's important for us to get it right, even as singles. Even those that are married, we need to sit down and understand what is the purpose why God established the family unit. Why are we in the family unit? So we don't allow our own selfish purpose to defeat the purpose of God in our lives. Praise the Lord. So today we're looking at the kingdom husband. Praise God. And the key scripture we're going to use is Ephesians 5, 2 to 33. We're going to use this for a long time. Ephesians 5, 22 to 33. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Praise the Lord. You know, today, Many marriages are in crisis because either the covenant has been violated, or we never understood what it was all about in the first place. Or because in our singleness, we didn't understand what our roles are in marriage. Praise the Lord. So people are disappointed, disillusioned. Praise the Lord. You know, their vision, their dream of what marriage should be when they are going into it is no longer what it is today. You know, on the wedding day, everybody is excited. Praise the Lord. And everybody have great and high expectations of what marriage should be. And everybody goes into it. 1 year down the line, 2 years down the line, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10, 15, 20, 30, are you still, you know, holding on strong? Praise the Lord. You see, most people quit because they're no longer happy in marriage. And like we said, the divorce rate, let me use where they have statistics in America, they said is over 70%. And within the Christian community, as high as 50%. And that means that a lot of people, a lot of children are being raised by single parents. That is not the way God planned it. Because every person in the family unit has a role to play in raising that child. Whether the husband or the woman or the wife, praise the Lord. You know, God established marriage to expand his kingdom. But many marriages are out of alignment. You know, another analogy, you know, is issue of driving your car. When your car is out of alignment, right? And the tires are bent on one side. Praise the Lord. Until you go back and do the alignment again, if you change the tires, what happens? It will still wear out again, right? You know, some people, without addressing the fundamentals of the family unit, when they feel they are no longer comfortable in marriage, they step out. And that is why, because the original issue was not addressed, praise the Lord, when they step out and maybe divorce and marry again, go and check most times, when people have divorced once, there is a higher likelihood of divorcing a second time. Except the fundamentals I addressed. Except you go and do the alignment. No matter the number of tires you change, the tires will still do what? Wear out. And that's why it's important for every person in the family unit to understand their own role and be able to, you know, adhere to it. Praise the Lord. It's a wear and tear on children who are being overtly indulged or forgotten. Wear and tear on husbands and fathers who bear being usurped and disrespected. Praise the Lord. Wear and tear on the wives and mothers who are being abused, neglected, and negatively what? Affected. All kinds of things are happening. I don't know what happened to the young woman last night for her to kill her husband and kill her own children. She carried 9 months, and then took her own life. There is a war on marriages. Praise the Lord. And you and I need to understand this and rise up to the occasion. There is pain in family breakdown. When this happens, you know, lives are torn apart. Homes are dismantled. You know, sometimes leads to death. Conflict replaces harmony. Pain replaces peace. You know, where there used to be peace before, there is war, there is fight. These issues can only be resolved by coming under the alignment, under the principles that God has established for marriage. God has an order that he has established for what? For marriage. And until we begin to conform to it, we will forever have issues and challenges in marriages. When you leave God's order, you lose God's presence and blessing. We've already taught here, when we look at the family, the kingdom family, that when a man and a woman comes in holy matrimony, praise the Lord, that a covenant is being established, praise the Lord, and God is the third person in that word, covenant. So the moment you walk outside what God has established as the order of marriage, what happens? God steps aside, and you are on your own. And think about it. Who is the author of marriage? God. It wasn't Adam's idea that he should have Eve. It wasn't Eve's idea that he should have Adam. It was God's idea. And if that's God's idea, it means that God has a plan on how it should work. And until we go back to him, praise the Lord, to understand how this should be, we'll continue to have issues. Praise the Lord. He said, when husbands are out from under God's headship, they experience chaos in marriage, and the wife simply responds to her husband's faulty leadership. If husband is out of order, wife is out of order. You know, the way, from where we read, the way God has ordained the order in marriage is God, right? Jesus, right? The husband, the wife, the children. That is the order. So if a man is not aligning to God, if a man is not submitting to God, let me tell you, the wife cannot submit to him. Men, are we shocked? Are we surprised? When husbands are out from under God's headship, they experience chaos in marriage, and wife simply responds to her husband's faulty leadership. If husband is out of order, wife is what? Out of order. You know, Satan destroyed the first marriage by switching the order in the relationship. Why didn't Satan go to Adam for Adam to eat the fruit? Praise the Lord. But now he went to Eve. And Eve took away the decision-making process that ought to have come from Adam, which was what the devil actually wanted to achieve. Praise the Lord. And that caused a lot of problem for them. So we have to understand this order and go with this order. And we have to come under God's authority. You see, every kingdom husband must recognize that he is under the authority of Jesus Christ. You know, if you look at the story of Adam and Eve, you know, even when they ate the fruit, who was held responsible? Adam! The man is held responsible for the family. Oh, don't say, oh, my wife took the decision. It's not me. It is you that God will ask what happened, because God, Jesus Christ, the husband, the wife. Can you put that picture for me? Remove this thing. Put a picture of the order of marriage that I showed last time. Until we understand this, and men begin to understand that they have a responsibility for the headship of their family. Headship is not just to say, don't you know the head. Praise the Lord. Both spiritually, physically, materially, are you leading your family? Are you actually the head of the family? Praise the Lord. Are you playing your role as a husband? Okay, praise the Lord. You see, the other, you see the woman here, to the man, to Christ, to God. When a man is not submitting to Christ, it's impossible for the woman to submit to the man. Because this is the way God has done it, if you go by Ephesians 5. So when a man is out of alignment, the marriage is what? Out of alignment. Praise the Lord. You can go back. 1 Corinthians 11:3. It says, but I will have you know that the head of every man is Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I will have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is what? Is God. That is the order. So any man who refuses to submit to the lordship of Christ has forfeited his right to demand that his wife submits to him. It's a tough one. Because God has already told us the hierarchy. So if you're out of alignment, you don't submit to Jesus Christ, how can you expect your wife to submit? Because you're out of order. It is a falling in line under his leader, under his leader, the Lord, that a husband models for his wife how she is to fall in line under him. Coming under God's kingdom authority, continued, okay, God's order for headship and submission is clear. We've already shown it. To ask a woman to submit to a man who is out of alignment under God and Christ is to ask that she submit to something other than God, which she should never do. When a man is not in line in this order, it becomes difficult for him to be the head of the family. When men align under God, God covers them and their home with his covenantal what? Protection. You see, when you align with the Almighty God in his order and submit to Jesus Christ, to God, for your family, in that order, then the covenantal protection that God has already, you know, proposed for the family comes to you. You come under that covenant. Praise the Lord. And this can only be explained like what, you know, God told the Israelites in Exodus 34, 23 to 24. Exodus 34, 23 to 24. I want to use this to explain. He said, twice in the year shall all your men, children, appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before thee, and enlighten thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land, when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. Now, what God has said here is that three times in a year, all the men in Israel will travel to Jerusalem to go and worship the Lord. Can you imagine what that means? In those days, people fight wars regularly, right? They suddenly, all the men in Nigeria will leave their homes, leaving their wife and children behind, and travel to Abuja every year, three times a year, to go and worship the Lord. You know what that means? If enemy nations knew that three times a year, because they know it, that they will not be around, is that not the best time to attack and carry the women and children and take over the cities, right? But God did it to let them know that he's a sovereign God. So three times a year, they travel to go and worship their God, leaving the children and the women behind. And God protected them year in, year out. He went to show them that, look, I am the Almighty God. Same thing, when you submit to the headship of God, of Jesus Christ, in your marriage, in your family, God brings a covenantal protection over your family. The thing is, by what you do that's keeping the family together. No. It's when you submit. Because you can give the best of training, the children will go out there, meet the wrong people out there, they are influenced and they are changed, and you wonder, where did this child learn this from? Is it from the father or is it from the mother? Praise the Lord. Has anybody witnessed that? You see a child's behavior completely out of order from either the father or the mother. You say, this is weird. Where did it come from? Or maybe the wife goes out and does something that is strange that you've never seen before, and you're wondering where. Because you've not honored Jesus Christ as the head of the family. You are out of alignment. And until you get back to alignment, you cannot come under the cover. That's why I love how they use that umbrella, you know, to show what it's all about. A lot of people have left, gone out of alignment under the cover. And being careful not to use umbrella too much. Praise the Lord. You know now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, they've left under the cover and they did not submit to Jesus. And that is why we're having a lot of issues in the family. Sometimes men will want to blame their wives. Oh, it's the woman. You know, like we always say, anything you give to the woman, what will happen? He will multiply it. Give the woman a seed. He multiply it. 9 months time, he give you a child, right? Anything. So, women are responding to our leadership. That is taken away from this teaching today. The man takes responsibility. If the family fails, it's the man's responsibility. You may, for me as a man, I find it tough, but When you read and understand what all these prayers mean, that yes, you have a role to play. Because being under God is not just coming to church on Sunday. Praise the Lord. Your thoughts, is it aligned to God? Your beliefs, your words, your actions, is it aligned? Are you submitting to Jesus Christ? Praise the Lord. It's until you come into alignment that your family will be aligned under God. And that is important. So the men of Israel were to take a trip to Jerusalem for 3 annual pilgrims. By doing this, they were obeying God and acknowledging His sovereign rule in their lives. Praise the Lord. The women and the children were left behind. God watched over them while the men went to worship God. God is saying, if you will align yourself under my authority, I will take care of the rest. I have you covered. Tell your neighbor, God says, I have you covered. Kingdom husband, to have you covered, you have to humble yourself under him by allowing your thoughts, your actions, decisions, and leadership under the authority of God. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes we have what we call a false claim of leadership. Sometimes in some homes, the men are not showing leadership. They are not doing what they ought to do. Praise the Lord. And that's exactly what the devil wants. Satan wants men to claim headship without being under God's headship. That's false words. Headship. When you say you are the head of the family, right? You want to be head. But God has said, I'm your head, and you are not submitting. And you want to claim headship when you yourself are not submitting, right? It will not work. And there's bound to be what? Problems. And that's what the devil actually wants. One way to tell when a man is not under divine headship is if he rarely brings God's point of view into his discussion. His decision does not reflect God's decision. When you are taking action concerning your family, concerning yourself, do you try to find out what is God saying in this situation? It's easy to say, oh, pastor, I submit to Jesus because I'm a Christian. I go to church. Mm-mm, that is not it. In your thoughts, in your decisions that you take on a daily basis, do you pause to say, God, what is your decision concerning this? In your decision concerning your family, do you pause to say, Lord, what is your decision concerning this? In your decision concerning your children, do you pause to say, Lord, what is your own opinion, your decision on this issue? Praise the Lord. In smaller issues, even to the point of the schools that children will attend, do you even pause to say, God, what is your decision on this? You want to travel, do you even pause to say, oh, Lord, what is your decision on this? Look at the story of Naomi. Things are tough in the land. And the husband and the two sons checked out. They didn't ask the Lord. And when they left, what happened? Famine came, eventually death came. The husband died, the two sons died, and Naomi was left alone. And she had to return back because they did not, as a family, ask God, should we move? Many families take decisions without consulting the Lord. Many families, you even see the woman being more prayerful than the man. Men, that's an aberration. You are the head of the family. Head is not to say, I am the head here. Don't go here, go here. Mm-mm. Or cook me good food, bring it here. Mm-mm. You are the head, you are the high priest of the house. Are you submitting to Jesus Christ? Are you playing your role as the priest of the house? Headship here is both spiritual and physical. Headship here is both spiritual, physical, and emotional. Are we playing that role as husbands? Because if you're a kingdom husband, you must bring God into the equation to show that you have submitted to Him. Praise the Lord. Remember from the experience of Adam and Eve, regardless of who makes the decision in a home, it is a man who is held what? Responsible. Some men have abandoned their role in the family. Praise the Lord. Some of them are all over the place. You know, some men have wives outside. You know, strange things are happening even in the church. I remember a few years ago, a pastor died, and when he died, discovered that he had a wife in Abuja and had one in Lagos. How many people heard about it? Have you heard about it? Wow. So how many children? Outside.
Uh-huh.
And the person will have the audacity to every day climb the pulpit. And the original wife, in quotes, didn't know there was a wife outside. What is he teaching the people? What is he teaching the people? I always tell people, there's not as hidden under this earth. Anything you do will be exposed one day. Trust me. You can't hide it forever. And the devil knows when to expose it, especially if you're a Christian. He will allow you, so that when he does, you will have maximum what? Impact. Praise the Lord. Eve gave in to the devil, but Adam was held responsible. Romans 5:12. He said, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Eve received the fruit, ate and gave to the husband, right? But in the story here, who is that responsible? The man! So young people here, let us learn. You are the one that will be held responsible in that family. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, for as in Adam, all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. In Adam, all did what? Die. To be held over someone means that you are responsible. Take responsibility for leadership of the home. Praise the Lord. Some people think, oh, I am the head. But headship without responsibility is no headship. Praise the Lord. Just like we say here, a lot of people want to come to church, they want to serve God, but they don't want to take any responsibility for their actions. And today, a lot of people are preaching the gospel of grace. Grace without responsibility. You can commit sin, do whatever you want to do. Grace is there to rescue you. That is another lie from the pit of hell. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because by God, all actions are weird. The best thing a man can do in leading his home and cultivating his marriage is to ask, what is the mind of Christ on that matter? This brings God into the equation. Brings security, trust, and reassurance. Whenever you pause and say, God, what is the mind of God in this issue? The equation changes. I'm giving you a testimony of, you know, how a managing director, you know, told somebody that he will destroy the person. Praise the Lord. And the man said, you are not God. You have no such powers to destroy me. The man brought God into the equation, right? And that changed the entire thing. The man lost his job, lost his bank. The moment you bring God into an equation, into an issue, the equation changes. So you're a man here, no matter what the problems that come in the family, be they physical, be they spiritual, emotional, always pause and say, God, what is your own opinion on this issue? God will present this issue before you. Take charge of this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say, Christ is under God, the Father, all men. Christ under God the Father. All men are under Christ, and a wife is under her husband. Women, take note. We will soon be treating women later. Ephesians 5:25 says, husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We're looking at the roles of the husband in the marriage. The roles of the husband in the marriage. And the first thing we're told here is, husband, love your wives. Love your wife. Love your wife here means sacrifice for her. Praise the Lord. Some people think, oh, love. Shebi, I've bought her a nice car. I've given her a good home. There's money in their car. What does she need? You know, I'm told of a story of a woman that the husband, on her birthday, husband bought a beautiful car and he was given to the woman. The woman said, I beg. Is it car that we eat? The man is never in this house. In a month, you see him twice. Do you understand what I'm saying? You would have thought, with a good home, everything. But there was something that was missing. The man's presence is never there. Praise God. Love means sacrifice. And men are called to love their wives just like Christ love the church. And we're going to compare what Christ did for the church and how a husband should treat the wife. Praise the Lord. You see, here we say the husband as a savior, not a savior in the theological sense, right? You know, Christ gave his life for the church to save you and I, right? So a husband ought to be a savior to her what? To his wife. Hey, when I came across, I said, wow, this is deep. You ought to be a savior to your what? To your wife. See, as far as God is concerned, to talk about love, he's talking about Calvary and a savior. Loving your wife means carrying a cross. A man is called to love his wife no matter what. That's the tough part, right? Christ died for you and I, even while we are what? Yet sinners. The Christ went for us to become perfect before he could love us. Bible says that he has loved us without an everlasting what? Love. So it doesn't mean we don't earn it. It's not by what we do or what we did not do that made Christ to love us. So when Bible says, men, husbands, love your wife as Christ the church. It is deep. It means even when the soup has plenty pepper. Oh, darling, wonderful soup, you eat it. Even when there is no salt in the food, love your wife. Even when she is being stubborn, love your wife. Even when she is being angry, love your wife. How many men here want to still love your wives? Only one hand. Okay, how many singles here? I don't want to have people in the house. Who are going to be husbands who love their wives under such circumstances? Can I see your hand? Don't pretend though. And if people are saying the truth, praise the Lord. But when Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ the church. People of God, is deep. Tell your neighbor, it is what? Deep. Love your wife no matter what. He said, you cannot wait until she gets everything right. Just as the wife is to respect her husband, even when he doesn't have it all together. We'll come to the wife later. Praise the Lord. Love her. She has a bad mouth, yes, but you saw it before you entered into that covenant, right? Love her. Use love and overcome that bad mouth. Praise the Lord. It says, most men date in order to marry. When the biblical principle is to marry in order to date. Deep. Because two of you are two imperfect people coming together. But we have reversed the order. So we date, do all the nice things, open the door for the lady when we're dating, you know, when the lady carry umbrella over her like this, you know, say, wonderful husband, what do you want? Take her to the shop and you pay the bills and everything. You toast her into your house. Makam. The moment you are married, I beg, let me go in now. You're inside the car, woman in the car, broom. Enter, I beg, boom, slam the car. You drive off. You don't open cars anymore. Praise the Lord. You don't open cars anymore. You don't toast her anymore. Whereas it's supposed to be, because two of you are two imperfect people, when you marry her, you begin to do what? Toast her. And I'll show you how. When we get to the husband being ex-sanctifier. Because the day you give your life to Christ, the day you come to Christ, right? You are still that same old person with all your bad behaviors, right? Does Jesus stop loving you? What happens? His grace will keep on helping you until you do what? Get better. You keep on getting better. Praise the Lord. He said, every man likes to think himself as a lover. But the measuring rod for a biblical lover is the size of the cross he's carrying. Christ loved the church to death. You love your wife, but you don't want to carry the cross for her. How? You don't want to bear the burden. Praise the Lord. Pastor, you know, as a pastor, over the years, even I'm a young pastor, 12 years, I've seen all kinds of crises. Pastor, no, I can't stand it anymore. I'm moving out. This is. What's the issue? Most times, communication problem in the house. Sometimes, finance in the house. sometimes, you know, issue of infidelity, and you refuse to carry the cross. You know, because this generation now, we are used to drive through. You know, when you go to eatery, just wait and get your food immediately. In fact, they have even improved on that. You don't need to enter the shop again to get the quick service. You just drive through. They give it to you. So you don't want to spend some time and invest in your marriage. If she had bad behavior, have you sat down? Have you prayed about it? Have you brought God into the equation? Have you made up your mind that, okay, I'm going to see through this, that this bad behavior will change? Remember what we said earlier, we may respond to how we behave. I know the story, I've said the story several times, Pastor Debo shared. He said, a woman who was they were doctors in the university, husband and wife, two of them were doctors. Every day they will fight. You're a doctor, I'm a doctor. Hey, so what is it? And the woman, you know, somebody brought her to the pastor and complained. Pastor, okay, since have you given your life to Christ? Eventually she gave her life to Christ. So, okay, let us leave your husband out of this equation. Let us even begin to work on yourself. When the man comes back drunk, as you claim, still take away the coat, hang it, praise the Lord, serve him food, say something sweet. The first day the man came back, the woman came, the man said, they are finally saying to come and kill me. He just dragged his suit and said, no way, went upstairs. He said, darling, food is on the table. He said, I beg. He left the food overnight, things spoiled. It happened like that for almost a week. The woman kept on doing it. Ran back to the pastor. Pastor said, continue. Then the woman said, the man now stopped coming home drunk. Because he has seen a change in his wife. He said, let us find out what is happening here. You know? So the first time he came back like that, he allowed him to carry the suit, drop the suit. And he was observing. Next thing, he was able to sit down. And the woman came to sit beside him to watch him eat. He said, You know? As he was up finishing eating, the woman brought water for him to wash hand. The guy said, what is happening? Are you PhD? What happened to the PH and D? You don't have it anymore. The woman didn't answer. Before the woman would have flared up, our fight would have started. The woman just said, you know, just kept her cool. And over time, the woman has actually changed. One day he now tapped the woman and said, please, where did they do this miracle? I want to receive my own. He said, I'm born again. I go to so and so place. As that the man came to church and gave his life to Christ. Those two people who were fighting every time, almost on the verge of divorcing, killing themselves, ended up being pastors in the vineyard. Sometimes people respond to how we behave. And it's a two-way thing, both husband and wife. And it takes you to understand what is the purpose of marriage. When you understand that purpose, and you begin to find out your own role. Here we say, husband, love your wife unconditionally. It's not just to love them when they're behaving well, or love them when they bring you a grace gift, but love them whether they are good or what, bad. Because you have entered into a covenant, and God is part of that covenant. He said, at the heart of this love your wife is sacrifice. Is there no sacrifice? So if there is no sacrifice, there is no love. And I have taught this one here several times. I tell young people, when the guy is toasting you, he doesn't make any sacrifice. He doesn't give you. What I mean give is not just money. He doesn't give his time. He doesn't care. You know? I say he loves you. That's one sign you know. The person is not yet serious. When you are in love, it will cost you something. You must sacrifice. Praise the Lord. The next thing that we are told, a husband should be a sanctifier. A sanctifier. Ephesians 5:26-27 says that he must sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water. Talking about Christ and the church. Praise the Lord. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. Here the Bible is about Christ and the church. The day you give your life to Christ, we say, that is justification. You appear before God just as if you never what? Sin. So you have imputed righteousness of Christ upon you, right? When you give your life to Christ by faith, You appear before God just as if you never sinned, because you are covered with his blood. Justification. But the next work of grace is called what? Sanctification. So the day you gave your life to Christ, you are still living in that old house you are living, right? With all the bad attitude and manners, right? Then the work begins. Praise the Lord. You go into the place of sanctification, of being set apart. You begin to drop out all those what? Bad habits. You have to drop them, right? So the second work of grace kicks in. Same thing in marriage. The day you married, you came into that marriage with your own baggage. Shall you pass some things from your physical load of your own, right? Into the house. And the wife packed her own small load too into your house, right? You came with some personal belongings in the physical. So also in the spiritual. So also character-wise, you will come into that marriage with your own baggage. The woman will come with her own baggage. And a work of sanctification will have to begin. That is where the core of the matter is. Most people don't want to go to the place of what? Sanctification. Because you have your own bad manners, you have to throw them away. The woman will have to throw her own away. Two of you begin to work together as one, begin to drop out bad habits. Maybe some things are even generational from your family. Some things may be generational even from the woman's family. Husband, as a sanctifier, you now have a role. You see what Christ did there? Bible said he sanctified his church, cleansed it with the washing of water by the word. You speak the right word into the marriage. Praise the Lord. That he might present to himself as a glorious church. Hey, if Jesus had to go through this world to present the church that he wants to himself, a husband has a role to play. You have to begin to work on your marriage to achieve the desired woman that you have. I don't know what I'm communicating. You want a woman that is without fault, perfect, right? You're going to mold her into what you want her to be. Because if that wife you married is perfect, she would have been in heaven. You would have met her. So two of you are coming to this union with a lot of baggage. So there is work to be done. With the washing of water and the word, praise the Lord, you begin to do what? Sanctify your wife. So a husband has a role to play. You want that woman to be, you know, that dream wife. You know, young people are here. Some will have an idea how they want their wife to be. You want that slim, you know, beautiful, you know, cheek, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's not always like that. God created people differently. Praise the Lord. That's the truth. Some people love them also big. But you marry that person that is big, and the person enter house and decide to lose weight. Praise the Lord. You love her. You enter house, the person is skinny and overnight gains weight. You love her. Praise the Lord. There's a rule for everybody. So you as a husband, you have to do what? Play a role of sanctification, of trying to make her better, to be glorious, to return back to you as a glorious wife. But some people don't want to work. They want the ready-made wife. There is no ready-made wife. If you see another man's wife and she's looking ready-made, somebody is doing what? Is working on her. The grass is always greener in your neighbor's what? Garden. So if you're looking from upstairs, it's green. But you don't know that they put manure. They remove weed. They water it. Eh? They tend it. They cut it. And when you look, it's looking so what? So beautiful. There's a lot of work going into it. You want a beautiful, wonderful home and wife, invest in it. Praise the Lord. So the purpose of sanctification is to take someone from where they are and turn them into what they ought to be. Christ and the church. Praise the Lord. Husband and the wife. So when a man marries a woman, he also marries her history. Tell your neighbor, when a man marries a woman, he also marries her history. So this works both ways. He has to accept the good parts of her past and her family as well as the bad parts. If you love your wife, you will be her sanctifier. To sanctify is to cleanse, and to make pure, heal things she brings into the marriage that may not be right. Praise the Lord. That may not be right. Our wife needs our sanctifying love. This means when she needs strength, you are her strength. When she needs encouragement, you are encouragement. When she needs joy or peace, you provide it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You are being basically told to be selfless in what you offer in the marriage. Being a wife sanctifier, the true purpose of leadership is not domination, but glorification. Wow. It is our goal to glorify and beautify our wives. Then we will not abuse them, but embrace them. You cannot be walking towards glorifying your wives and you turn her into a punching bag. Like I said here, when we were looking at the kingdom family, I told the singles, if the guy is punching you now that he has not paid bride price, and you say, he loves me, it's just he has that fault, pack your bag and leave. Because if he's slapping you now that he has not paid bride price, when he pays bride price, he's going to hit you with a meter. What me? If he's abusing you now that he has not even seen your parents, pack your bag and leave. That is not love. But some people say, if he goes, you know, I love him. He loves me. He has issue with temper. That's why I said he has to go and deal with his singleness. If he has not dealt with the issue of temper as a single, let him go and work on it before he goes into marriage. That you don't use another man's child as a punching bag. You know, when they punch these ladies, some of them, thank God for mascara now, they will paint, use for a color to fade it, to fade into the face. You are trying to protect that guy. Because if you don't walk away now, you are creating an atmosphere for a crime to take place. We've seen it happen in this country recently. Why people are killing themselves in the name of marriage. So if you are working to sanctify your wife, she can never be a punching bag. You will not work to improve her. Praise the Lord. The next thing under love your wife is husband as a satisfier. I think we're going to stop here today. Husband as what? A satisfier. Ephesians 5, 28 to 29. Ephesians 5, 28 to 29. So, ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord loves us that he wants our ultimate satisfaction. So as a husband, your role is to satisfy your wife. When we say satisfy, the first thing that goes to men's mind is what? Sex. That is not it. Satisfy spiritually. All of us have our own strengths spiritually. Maybe she's not the kind that worships. And you are a worshiper. Lead her into worship. Maybe she's not the kind that prays. And you are the one that you have the strength in prayer. Encourage her to pray. Praise the Lord. You know, you satisfy her spiritually, emotionally, and physically. The one you can do for her, you do. I'm not saying if you don't have money, and the wife said, I need a Range Rover. And because you want to satisfy her, you guys steal and say, my wife made me steal because I want to satisfy her. No. Within the context of what you have, be your wife's what? Satisfier. You see, marriage is work. Marriage is what? It's work. Shane, you go to school to study to become a professional, right? Before you are allowed in the military to carry a gun, you are trained, right? It's only marriage that will enter. Nobody wants to be trained. Everybody wants to be a professional overnight. No! There is work to be done on both sides. You have to ensure that you satisfy your spouse. Praise the Lord. You have to help your wife look good so she is fulfilled and satisfied. There are many dissatisfied wives out there because there are too many unsatisfied husbands. You see, love your wife as yourself. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If a man is not happy with himself, there's a problem with that. Praise the Lord. So many families are in crisis because the men themselves are not satisfied. It's a two-way thing. Remember, the two becomes what? One. It's a two-way thing. And trying to be one, the two have to play a key role. Whatever I've said here, most of it for the husband, applies to the wife too. Praise the Lord. He said, a kingdom husband who is determined to satisfy his wife won't stop even if his efforts are not met with equal love. Some people say, do me, I do you. God no go verse. There's something like that though. It's not scriptural. People say, do me, I do you. God no go verse. It's not scriptural. Praise the Lord. Marriage is not a place you go because she did this to me. Let me revenge. If she applies more, that will increase the heat. Praise the Lord. The thing should be to satisfy one another. That should be the primary goal in marriage. So men here, we will stop here. Next Sunday, we'll continue with the role of the husband. Kingdom husband. And we'll round it up. But you and I have a role to play. You have to understand there's an order that God has, you know, put in place for marriage. God is the head of Jesus. Jesus is the head of the man. The man is the head of the woman. Then comes in the children. This order must be followed. And when a man is out of alignment in this order, the family cannot be aligned to God. Let us bow down our heads even as we pray. I want you to come before God even at this moment. You're married. Ask God to help you heal your marriage. Ask God to help you perfect your marriage. You're a man here. Ask God to help you to submit to Jesus Christ. You are a single person here. Ask God to help you in your singleness to prepare you for the role in marriage. Father, we come before you. Father, we thank you. Father, we give you glory. Father, help all Lord, men and women in this place, young men and young women in this place today, O Lord, help us. Let us understand the order that you have set for a marriage. Help us understand, O Lord, you are the head of the family. And until we align to your headship, everything will be out of alignment. And Father, this morning I pray, oh Lord, every marriage that's going through crisis, Father, that you bring order to that marriage, oh Lord. I bring the men, I bring the women involved, oh Lord, that wherever they are, that they will hear your voice telling them the right things to do. And they will receive grace, oh Lord, to do the right things. Father, I bring the young people in the church today, oh Lord, that as they hear this, oh Lord, they will internalize it, oh Lord. And that they will, oh Lord, purpose in their heart to be role models in marriage. Men and women, good husbands and good wives, oh Lord. Now all of us, oh Lord, here, oh Lord, we establish family unit as ordered by you, oh Lord. That we'll implement that which you have given to us, oh Lord, to expand the kingdom using the family unit. Father, I pray for every family that is going through crisis right now, oh Lord, in our midst, oh Lord. I pray for healing. I pray for restoration. Father, oh Lord, where there is crisis, oh Lord, I say, peace be still.
Thank you for listening. We believe you have been blessed. For more information, kindly fellowship with us on Wednesdays by 6:30 p.m. for our midweek services and Sundays by 9 a.m. for our family services at number 209 Muri Okola Street, Victoria Island, Lagos. Or visit us on Facebook at Kingdom Disciples Assembly.